I want to welcome you today to Barbie's Grove as we come to worship the Lord together. I look around, I can tell that it's a holiday weekend because we've got quite a few folks that are off on trips as families, and so we understand that. But we're glad that you're here. Good to have Michael back after a couple of weeks, and then we'll send you back for some more training. Good to have my daughter Sarah and her husband Brian with us for a few hours, and he does all the chores that I can't do. Either I don't know how to do them because they're on the computer or on my phone or something, or other things. And their daughter Hannah graduates not long at Christmas and going to set up an apartment, so I'm going to send them 2 truckloads of dishes back. No need in that girl going out and buying dishes when my wife had multiple sets. So they packed dishes all yesterday afternoon. But it's good to be in God's house and to know that the Lord loves us. And he has a special blessing for each of us as we worship the Lord together. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the blessings that belong to us because we're children of God. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here today to encourage us, to teach us, to draw us to you. Father, we pray for not only Brian and Sarah, but all of the ones that are traveling this weekend. Safety and trouble-free travels as they come back to us here at Barbie's Grove or go to their appointed places of where they live. And Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, that Savior that loves us. He died for us. He gives us eternal life. We thank you for him. Now, Lord, know that you're welcome. Speak as you would wish to speak. May we have spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. And Lord, may we not only hear, but may we obey and live out that which you've given us to live out. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to have Brother Leonard back, too.
Oh, yes, good to be back. Good to be back. It certainly is, Pastor Ed. And Ryan and Sarah, I want to let you know, if you run out of dishes, I got some more. We can get you another truckload, I think, up around Lonzo Road somewhere. So just let us know. But it is good to be here. It's good to see you all. Yes, we do have people traveling, and we need to keep those people in our hearts and our minds. And our prayers, for sure. So let's look at today, as we do every Sunday morning. We take a hymnal, and we do a song from the hymnal. And I'm old-fashioned that way, but I believe that the hymns of the church are still so important. But then so is a song that Brenda played, If That Isn't Love. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful song that was. So but let's all sing together, O Worship the King, as we stand and sing all 4 verses together this morning. Oh, worship the King. you. Remain standing for prayer, please. Be seated. This is, I have some announcements I want to share with you. I think we got a video, Brother Jeff. Happy birthday first. Okay. I didn't get an insert on that. I've not been able to read that bottom line. What is?
Happy birthday. The birthday's from you, the anniversary.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very easy. The fact that I don't have that list. And you got the list? Oh, that's getting too efficient. yeah. This is for this week, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I think, Brenda, we've talked about this already this morning, just so you know, that I'm not totally inept. So we talked about it. We don't have the list. Then we'll do it next Sunday, right? Yeah, this is just the week, but I can share that without any problem. You're gonna give the whole list? All right, yes, sir. You got a second. You got more than that, Mr. IT. As long as you need it. No, birthdays are important. We acknowledge those every month at the first of the month. And so we want to do that. So, how y'all doing?
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it, brother. We missed the list. Okay. Okay, you going to call it up from up there? Okay. Go ahead. You got the mic there. Go for it. Okay, wonderful. Have we missed anyone on the birthday? Anywhere? All right, that being the case, Miss Brenda, give me a key, please. Let's all sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Tamara, happy anniversary. God bless you. And how many years now? Half your life. Okay. Tamara, that's a real good answer, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I'd like to be around your house this afternoon about 3 o'clock. No, that's a good answer, though. It is over half your life. It is. 34. Let's give them a hand. I pick on Lionel. He picks on me, and we all love each other. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All right, I'm going to share some announcements with you at this particular time. And Jeff, you have a video that you want to show at this time, or you want to wait till later on? Okay. We have a video here on home missions I'd like to share with you. Okay.
What does it mean to live sent? It means taking the hope of the gospel across North Carolina, throughout the United States, and around the world. Through the North Carolina Missions Offering, North Carolina Baptists are living sent together. Your gifts support church planning, Baptists on Mission, and local Baptist associations, helping share the love of Christ wherever there is a need and creating opportunities for people to hear the gospel. Because of your generosity, church planners are being sent and living sent in communities across our state. A portion of every gift also supports your local Baptist association, helping churches live sent through mission projects and ministry opportunities in your own community. The offering also equips volunteers to live sent through Baptists on Mission, responding to disasters, serving through medical and dental ministries, helping families rebuild in Western North Carolina, and engaging in mission projects across the United States and around the world.
I will serve you, Lord.
I will serve you, Lord.
When you give to the North Carolina Missions Offering, you're helping North Carolina Baptists live sent every day. Together, we're taking the gospel to our neighbors, our nation, and around the world. Together, we are living sent.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate that very much. And this is NC Home Missions. It's September, and as we've already explained, the month of September marks the primary emphasis of the North Carolina Missions Offering. So please join us, and let's be part of that and a part of success of that offering. That's self-explanatory. The Fall Revival. The Fall Revival is coming up October the 11th through the 14th. Please be in prayer for the special service for the community and a guest speaker. The guest speaker will be Reverend Mark Caldwell from Haywood County. Invite all to attend. Haywood County, that's up there close to the mountains, isn't it?
Haywood, Waynesville, Maggie Valley.
Oh, that is mountains then.
Canton.
Yeah. See, I thought I'd been through Haywood County several times, and I have.
Most everybody smells the paper mill, which is no
longer there. Yeah, Canton, right? That's in Canton, right? Canton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we could always tell we're getting close to Asheville.
Maggie Valley.
Yep, Maggie Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful place. Beautiful place.
And
okay.
For ladies that like to shop, Waynesville is the place.
Yeah, that's true too. You come down. Yeah, I've done that too. But I didn't know I was in Haywood County. I don't know why I didn't know that. But it's good to know. Good to know. All right. Let's see. Have I forgot any announcements? Yes. A council meeting at 11 today. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your help. Appreciate that. So you council members, before you go that way, let's go this way today after the service, okay? All right. If there are no other announcements, we'll go to prayer time at this point in time. We do have a lot of people missing today, and we just remember travel mercies on all of those people traveling, having the vacations, and probably down at the beach or in the mountains, one or the other. And so this is Labor Day, and tomorrow to be Labor Day. And so you take the day off tomorrow because it's Labor Day, right? Remember, you don't do any work. Come to my house and you'll find work. No. But anyway, enjoy your Labor Day. Get rest. Recharge those batteries. That's the thing to do. And, okay, on prayer request, let's continue to remember my wife as she's recovering from the hip surgery. She's still working with the walker. And a lot of people say, well, by that time, I was not on the walker. Well, everybody's different. And so she's one of those different ones. And but she's doing well. She's getting stronger every day. And thank you for your prayers for her. And let's remember the Landon and Darla as they'll be traveling in the days to come. And Sarah and Brian, and we pray for the Lord's safety for you as you go back home and be with your family there. The Junior Ward family, the lost a loved one, let's remember that family indeed. And now, have I forgotten anything or missed anyone in the way of prayer? All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you humbly, asking, Lord, but before we ask, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you send our way each and every day. Thank you for the ones who prioritize their time to be here this morning to worship in this house of worship. We thank you for them. Lord, as those that are traveling today, Lord, that we don't want to forget, there are many that'll be on the road traveling today, Lord, and many of our members will be on the road. We pray for their safety and take care of them, we pray. We lift up my wife, Donna, Lord, as she's recovering. We thank you for the progress already made. We ask your continued blessing upon her. We pray for the travels. We pray for the travels of Landon and Darla. We pray for Sarah and Brian's travels as they go back home. And Lord, we lift up the Junior Ward family who lost a loved one. Lord, we remember to lift our pastor up to you as he comes before us today, Lord, and presents the sermon to us that we need to apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we may, then Lord, that we be and apply our hearts and lives, that we may witness to someone, we pray. Now go with us now, Lord, through the remainder of this service, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and this prayer is made in your loving Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go to a song of praise. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. It's on page 7 if you want to take a hymnal. If you want to watch the board, we can do that too. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee as we stand. We adore thee, God of glory, Lord. Thank you. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated, children. You are dismissed.
I used to bounce like that. Now I just bounce when I fall. You know, the Lord works marvelously in many, many ways. This week I was thinking, now what am I going to preach? And then one morning this week I was reading my devotions, and the writer mentioned a certain scripture. And he took that scripture and went off in a certain direction. And I followed along, great, great devotion. But the interesting thing was, while I was going, following him, over here in the back of my mind, the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's go this way. And gave me a totally different idea, same scripture, but just different applications. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning. You know, the United States is celebrating 250 years. And a part of that 250 years, a significant part of it, was what I think has been called the Great Western Migration. People going up the Oregon Trail, leaving the East Coast, going to out west, and then they would go that way, and then some would turn south into California, and some would go on into Oregon. They were looking for cheaper land, bigger farms, a new opportunity to make money, to live and to prosper. Anybody remember Wagon Train on TV? We do. That's the whole idea. A lot of folks put everything they owned in an old covered wagon and headed out. Now, I can imagine, knowing people, that there were probably a few impatient, I'll do it myself, folks, and they started out just in their, by themselves in their covered wagon. Or maybe they had a couple of other family members or friends. But you know, when they started out like that, usually they perished or they had to turn back. The smart folks were the ones that had a wagon master or a trail boss or wagon train leader, whatever they titled him. Somebody that had made the trip many, many times and could direct them. I mean, that wagon master would have started. Here's what you need to put in your wagon. You can take this if you want to, but you're going to probably end up leaving it by the trail because your animals are going to get too tired to pull it. And they said a lot of iron, cast iron stoves and things were left beside of the trail, big things, heavy, bulky items before it was over with. He could advise them on, do you want to use mules or horses or oxen to pull your wagon? He could advise you on what special supplies to take, how much flour, how much sugar, how much other things you might need. He knew where the easiest routes were. He knew where the watering holes were. He knew where the best places to cross the rivers. He knew how to deal with the Native Americans that they might find or encounter along the way. He knew at what place and when they might do some buffalo hunting. He knew where the forts were that they could stop and, even though it was expensive, buy some extra supplies. He knew when, by experience, when the animals and the people were just absolutely worn out. And he'd say, we need to stop and rest an extra day. He knew when, hey, we better speed up or the snow's going to catch us in the mountains and we're not going to make it. And the people that did that prospered, most of them. There's always those that passed away, but most of them prospered and a lot of them made it. He knew how to organize and maybe hook two or three teams to a wagon to pull it up a steep mountain trail, and how to get a number of people behind it with ropes to keep it from going off the downhill road too fast and crashing in. Everything depended on the wagon master, the trail boss. Everything depended upon him because he knew the way. And if the folks listened to him, generally they made it, unless some disease or something happened to hit them. Folks, one of the awesome things about being a real child of God is the guide that you have in the Holy Spirit. One of the most awesome, awesome things that God has provided for you and for me as His children is the Holy Spirit to guide us through life. We don't know tomorrow. You know, like the book of James talks about the scripture that says, well, I'm going to go over to that next town and spend a year there and I'm going to get rich. And James says, your life's just like a puff of smoke or the morning mist. You don't know what's going to happen. Going to happen tomorrow. You need to say, if God wills, if God directs, then that's going to work out that way. Not a one of us know tomorrow, next week, but God does. God does. You have your own personal guide through the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, some denominations think that the preacher's supposed to guide you, the priest. I can give you some hints and I can give you some direction, but the Holy Spirit is yours. The Holy Spirit is yours to be your guide. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He says God's children are those who are led by the Holy Spirit. Now that's awesome that God provides for us the Holy Spirit. Now go back with me to John 16. John 16. Verse 13, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and he shall show it to you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to guide. He's going to direct. Into what? All truth. He's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to tell us what he hears from the Heavenly Father. He's going to show us the future. You know, there are times that the Holy Spirit tells us exactly what we need to do for the future. Once in a while, I'll mention a missionary in Colombia and Venezuela, Doug Dennis. And I get his monthly newsletter. And I remember one especially, where one of the natives way back up the mountains where Jesus is not known. And the Lord appeared to this guy in a vision and says, you need to go to such and such a village, and somebody's going to show up there tomorrow and tell you how to have eternal life and get to heaven. You see, the Holy Spirit guiding and directing so that this man, and he could go back to his village and share Jesus with his village. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify Jesus in our lives. He's going to show us things about Jesus that we need to know. Let's go on down to chapter 16, verse 8. And when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I go into my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You know, I mentioned a moment ago about the wagon master saying to the people, you don't need to take that. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what sin to leave behind. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he convicts us of sin. He said, Ed, you got this bad attitude about this. Or Ed, you need to stop this habit. Or this you need to change. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us. And not only to convict us of what's wrong, but to show us how to live rightly. You know, I talked in a recent sermon about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Holy Spirit not only shows us what to leave behind, but the Holy Spirit tells us what we need to know. Great, great thing. Verse 12 says, you know, he'll reveal things to us as we need to know them. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There's things that I've learned in recent years that I didn't know 50 years ago. I didn't have the capacity to understand them 50 years ago. You know, the Holy Spirit knows the future. You don't, but he does, and he can guide you into the truth. You know, the Holy Spirit can lead us to the right people that can bless us, or to the right people that we can bless. He can lead us to the right resources for our life. And you know, the Holy Spirit, don't get, well, it's all spiritual and it all has to do with godly things. The Holy Spirit can guide you in just everyday situations of life. I was talking with a friend of mine not very long ago, and she's a part-time secretary at a church. Works, I don't know, 2 or 3 days a week, 3 or 4 hours at a time. And here's what she told me. She said recently she was leaving a little early. She had already got to the outside door and started to go get in her car, and the Holy Spirit said to her, you need to go tell the cleaning woman that you're leaving so that she'll know she's the only one in the building, and she'll lock up the security, turn on the security alarm when she leaves. So my friend goes back in the building. You know, her first impulse was, hey, she'll find that on her own. I'll go get in my car and go. But no, she obeyed the Holy Spirit. She went back into the room. She looked in the sanctuary. She didn't find the cleaning woman. She looked around the offices. Didn't find the cleaning woman. She had to go through a little hall to another building. First floor, didn't find the cleaning woman. Went to the second floor, didn't find the cleaning woman. But somehow or another, she thought she heard something. So she goes to the third floor, far into the hall. There's a big spill of water, and the cleaning woman's laying in a Sunday school room and can't get up. She says, "Get me up." She said, "No, you're white as a sheet. And if I grab on, start pulling on you, who knows what might happen." So my friend called EMTs, and they came, and they took the lady to the hospital. She had a broken arm or something, and I don't know what other issues. But she could have laid there for hours and hours and hours, because nobody goes into that part of the building on Wednesday nights. If it had not been for my friend listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying the Holy Spirit, and you know, whether the lady would have laid there and died, I don't know. But she couldn't get up. And if she was white as a sheet, there were some other issues going on. Folks, the Holy Spirit is practical. Practical. Now, Brian and Sarah have heard the pastor there in Oklahoma tell this, and you know, back around 2006, 2007, he had a little extra money to invest, and he has a good friend that was a Christian investment, and the friend came up with some great options for him to put that money in, but at the last minute, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." And right after that is when the stock, when your 401 became a 201. You know, the stock market went like that. My friend said he'd have lost most of his money if he hadn't obeyed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you and to me. Now, we can run through life and say, "I don't need him. I'm smart." No, that's the dumbest thing you can say. It's not. I probably shouldn't put it that way. But, you know, why would we neglect and start out on our own and try to live on our own and to live our lives on our own when we have the precious Holy Spirit to be our guide? Do you remember one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the book of Acts, where Paul and his traveling companions are at a certain spot, and they said, "Okay, our next destination's over here." Holy Spirit said, No. Not there." Well, they thought about it, and they said, "Okay, we'll go over here to start a church." No, you don't go there. And Paul's puzzled. I mean, you know, he's wanting to go preach. He's wanting to go make disciples. And then in the night he has a vision that says, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And he says, "I knew it was the Lord." And he said, "We got on the ship and took off." Great ministry. But he listened to the Holy Spirit about, don't go, go here. God can direct your life. It's not just the Lord directing a preacher to this church or that church, or a pulpit committee being sensitive and calling a preacher to their church. Every church member, what did Romans say? They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Every church member has the great honor of the Holy Spirit living within to direct. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. John 5. Let's go to verse 17. John 5:17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he shall show him greater works than these, that ye might marvel." And then verse 30. Get these two pages to come apart. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Jesus himself operated on that same plan. Maybe you'll understand it in a football analogy. You know, the play is over and the quarterback's going. And what is he doing? He's listening for the offensive coordinator to say, "Run pass play number so-and-so," or "Run running play so-and-so," or "Run the reverse so-and-so." They run whatever play the coordinator says. Now he's listening for the next play. And the next play, and the next play. He's not out there doing his thing. He's listening to somebody that's up there in a booth that can see all that's going on down on the field. He's totally listening and trying to execute what he's being told. That's the way Jesus operated. He said, "I see my Father." And he says, "Heal this person," or "Preach over here," or "Cast this demon out." And folks, if you just think about your New Testament, how many ways Jesus did various things. You can make a joke about it. You remember one person, he touched their blind eyes and says, "You're healed," and they were. Another person, he touched their eyes and they said, "Well, I can see men, they look like trees." He touched them again, and they could see. And then you remember there's another case where he spit on the ground, made some mud, put some mud in the guy's eyes, told him to go to wash in the pool of Siloam. There's another case that I hadn't really thought about much till recently, where Jesus, these two blind guys keep following Jesus, saying, "Jesus, have mercy, heal us, we're blind." And Jesus just keep going. And finally, when Jesus gets to the place where he's going, he says, "What do you guys want?" He said, "We want to be healed." He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you," and they were healed. Well, now, folks, in America, that's four denominations. You know, the mud in the eye denomination, the two-touch denomination, the one-touch denomination, and your own faith denomination. No, Jesus was listening to the Father, and the Father gave direction, and Jesus obeyed. The Father called the play, and Jesus simply executed the play that he heard the Father calling. That's your privilege. That's my privilege. That's your honor. That's my honor. That we can listen to the Holy Spirit, who is God, who knows the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end, who knows it all. We can listen to him. And boy, it'll make our travel up the Oregon Trail a whole heap better. He knows what you need to avoid. He knows what you need to, where you'll be blessed. You see, we can adopt that attitude. I'll just live it my own way. I'll do it myself. I mean, you know, what's the saying? I'm master of my fate and captain of my soul. I'll do it. And if we ignore God, we're going to suffer the consequences. Or we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, I just thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for his indwelling presence. And I thank you, Lord, that he leadeth. How's the old hymn go? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. He leadeth me, he leadeth thee. Thank God he leadeth me. Now, let me add one more thing. You have to learn over a period of time to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. Now, there's certain ones of you I've talked to on the phone enough that if you call, oh, that's Brother Leonard. That's Brother Lionel. Some of you I've never talked to on the phone. If you call, I'm saying, who? I know that voice, but which one of our church members is it? It takes a while to begin to discern voices. As you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey him, as you learn to recognize his voice, it's amazing the way he will lead you into God's blessing. That's your privilege. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As we have our invitation, I encourage you, if there's some decision you need to make with me or at the altar, I invite you to come. But I encourage you, as a child of God, thank the Lord for the privilege. Thank the Lord for the honor. And use it. Listen to the trail guide, the wagon master. Listen to the Holy Spirit and enjoy the blessings of God. Would you stand as we sing?
Only trust him, 317.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.